You're listening to Innovation for Alpha, where we explore everything at the intersection of healthcare innovation and finance. Through our discussions and interviews, we keep you informed and educated about healthcare innovations, next-level venture investing, and everything involving the combination of the two.
Hi, everybody. This is Tobin Arthur, the co-founder of AngelMD, and this is the Innovation for Alpha podcast. I'm joined by Dr. Sanjay Prasad, who is the founder of SurgiQuality, a really interesting startup. And then we're really pleased to have you here, Dr. Prasad, to share a little bit about the company and the background.
Thank you, Tobin. Pleasure to be here with you as well.
Thank you. Let's just start off with some history. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your career and then how this company came to be.
Yeah. You know, I was born in India and I came here when I was a year old. And my parents really migrated looking for a healthcare solution. And it's for someone in the family. I can't really get into that too much. But and I grew up here and in the Washington, D.C. area. I became a surgeon. I do neurotology and neurologic surgery. And been doing this for 30 years. And now I want to help people find the best surgeon for their condition. That's the whole idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea. And we want to dig into that a little bit more and talk about the market. Talk a little bit about what the history of the company, how long has it been going? And, you know, what have you done to date, maybe specifically?
Yeah, the idea began in 2014. And I started the company myself. But the idea is basically to connect surgical patients to best in class surgeons who operate in a cost-efficient environment. We built the technology in 2019. I was joined by about five or six other surgeon investors who came aboard. We incorporated at that time. And then, of course, you know, the COVID pandemic hit. Non-urgent surgeries were on pause. So we're looking to explode in 21 and beyond.
Yeah, interesting year for a startup for sure, dealing with not only the normal startup challenges, but then throw a pandemic on top of that, a little much. Let's talk just a little bit about the practicality. So a patient, to give, kind of walk us through a use case that you anticipate, and then also in models like this, a little bit about who you expect to be the customer, in other words, the person paying the bill.
Yeah, I mean, the we're selling this platform to self-insured employers, as well as cost-sharing health plans, regional insurers, major insurers, and they're really footing the bill. It's a per employee, per member, per month, a subscription fee model, and the patient, in terms of what they experience, you know, they develop a condition, whether it's a headache or a tummy ache or a knee that swells up, and they go see their primary care doctor. Today, in today's world, they get referred to a surgeon. There's not a lot of thought about cost. There's not a lot of thought about quality. What's the outcomes of surgery, et cetera. And patients today are getting exposed to unnecessary surgery, getting complications from unnecessary surgery. They have a provider book of surgeons to pick and choose from, but they have no way to look at outcomes through all these surgeons. So this is the problem we're solving, is that referral from the primary care physician to the surgeon. We're trying to vastly improve that and bring it into the information age.
So it's a very interesting problem in an area of the market that's a challenge for a lot of reasons. Let me throw a couple of different experiences and get your thoughts at that. So I had a conversation with some leadership at Cedars-Sinai, for example, in Los Angeles, and they wanted to solve for the challenge of patients coming in. Let's just take spine as an example. They've got a selection of 30 different surgeons from which they could be directed to. And the fact of the matter is, even within any institution, Cedars-Sinai included, there's going to be a range of strengths within that group. Outcomes are different. And yet legally, Cedars cannot direct a patient a given direction. They've got some constraints around that. How do you think about And really, a lot of this comes down to access to information, right? Who's divulging that information? Certainly, if it's CMS outcomes, that's public data. But for all private outcomes, it's got to be given that data's got to be, you know, made available. How does that get made available in the platform?
Well, what the platform works like this. In the pre-authorization process, the patient gets connected to a personalized concierge, and the concierge essentially handholds them through the entire process. But ultimately, Tobin, the patients choose their surgeon. We're not making recommendations. We're basically giving them information so they make well-informed choices. It just makes a lot of sense to us. And the concierge helps them gather their medical records, their imaging. We upload them, these images, to the cloud, all in a HIPAA-compliant fashion. And then we send this information, this case, if you will, to multiple surgeons, and they can be employed with a hospital system, they can be in private practice, whatever it may be. And we connect those cases according to the area of interest of those surgeons. The surgeons then get a chance to look at the records, look at the imaging through the app or through the iPad or whatever it might be. They're able to validate necessity or offer alternative treatment, and then put in their own self-reported information. And here's the tricky part. Doctor, how many have you done last year? What's your success rate? What's your complication rate? And these measures are very specific to the procedure at hand. And we also ask surgeons to corroborate that data, provide us some EMR reporting that corroborates the data. The market's asking for that. And then we take that information across an array of surgeons, we star grade, and then we present this information to patients. And they start to, number one, understand, become much more educated about success rates, complication rates, but they're also able to pick and choose the surgeon where what they want to go to.
Yeah, it's great. It's, you know, it kind of speaks to this whole consumerization where we're giving, you know, I think consumers are demanding more and more access to information so they can make better informed choices, whether that's outcomes, whether that's cost or all the above. And, you know, historically, as you know, patients have not been in a position where they've had a lot of decisions around that. They've been directed a particular place. The costs and the pricing is completely opaque. As you think about, you know, moving forward, kind of talk about some of the milestones and where you are in terms of what you're trying to accomplish the balance of this year. What are your key needs?
Yeah, well, you know, of course, we're a startup. And of course, the key needs are capital raise, et cetera. But we've made tremendous strides. We've got multiple networks on our system. We've got 30,000 surgeons, 300 surgery centers and hospitals in 50 states. We've got the provider side pretty well stocked up, but we'd always use more room for improvement. There's no question. And then on the other side, the patient side, we've made tremendous strides. We've developed quite a few relationships with TPAs and self-insured employers and labor unions as well. We have a Fortune 50 company that's ready to come aboard with their 500,000 lives in 50 states. We're really very excited about that opportunity. And we're talking to 10 other Fortune 100 companies. We also have talked to Blue Cross Blue Shield. They're very interested in a strategic partnership with us. And we've also talked to the Blue Venture Fund, the corporate venture partner. They're very interested in this. They want help with connecting their members to best-in-class surgeons within their network. So the market is extremely thirsty for this kind of platform, and it's very ripe for it.
Yeah, that's a good description. It's interesting. We had a discussion the other day with a startup called RiskLD. It's a maternal health startup out of Cleveland Clinic, out of Cleveland area. And they made the very point that, you know, when it comes to obstetric procedures, for example, volume matters. You know, if somebody's doing something two or three times a year, they're just not going to be as good at it as somebody who's doing two or three a day. And so that's important information for patients to be aware of, but also just within an institution to understand where their strengths and where their weaknesses lie. you know, you talk about in multi-sided markets, which of which you are, and platforms in general are very tough businesses. I know it because I've built platforms. We are a platform where we're serving many constituents. In our particular case, it's both clinicians and startups, and then outwardly we've got investors, industry, et cetera. And so you've got multiple masters, so to speak. You mentioned success on the clinician side. So 30,000 surgeons, that's not a trivial number. How did you build that side? How did you start there? How do you see that side continuing to grow? And then, as you mentioned, you know, patient lives is always critical, and it sounds like you're making some inroads there through the self-insured direction. But let's start on the provider side. How did you build that group?
That was really through partnerships with surgery center management companies, and hospital groups and hospital associations. So it's taken some time to get there, but they certainly, you know, all surgeons are very proud of their outcomes. You know, everyone thinks they have the best outcomes. I think that's great. And I don't think any surgeon will argue with referrals based on outcomes. It just makes a lot of sense. And if you don't agree with that, I'm not sure where you are. So, you know, I think on the provider end, it's a win-win. On the patient end, there's some re-education. You know, right now they're being pigeonholed and referred to one surgeon, and now they have the ability to look at an array of surgeons and compare outcomes. So it just makes total sense to us.
That sounds right. So talk a little bit about, as you mentioned, capital is always an important component for startups. How much capital does the company anticipate, you know, needing to raise the balance of this year? And what are the key use of proceeds for that capital?
Yeah, so we've signed a term sheet with a VC in New York for $3 million. We're looking to get amass $5 million in this round. So we're looking to raise $1.5 million to $2 million now through convertible notes. It's a very attractive valuation with a very nice discount through convertible notes. So we encourage surgeons or any investors that are interested in this platform, please reach out to us, sign an NDA. We'll give you the data room access, and we'd love to have the conversation and get you interested. So we invite family funds as well.
Perfect. We'll put the information in the show notes for how to reach you and connect with you. Let's just talk for a second about that. Building out of the network. How, you know, you've mentioned, and you guys have done, had some great strides on both sides. As you said, it takes time, both of those sides of the aisle. How do you anticipate growing that going forward? Do you need folks that are full-time focused on channel development? Is it right now being done by, you know, yourself and the founders just having to roll up your sleeves? How do you scale this, in other words?
Yeah, so we have a team of 10 right now. And we're looking forward to closing our Fortune 50 company. That's going to give us the number of surgeries that we need. What we learned early on in 2019, we started with some very tiny self-insured employers, but unless you have volumes of surgeries, you know, multiple 10, 20, 30 hip replacements, knee replacements, gallbladder surgeries or aneurysms or cardiac surgery, whatever it might be, volume is going to drive providers and provider engagement. There's no question about that. We've made great strides. We still have a lot of work to do ahead of us. There's no question.
As you look forward, so, you know, outcomes for yourself, for your shareholders, where does a company like this head? What's the end game? And maybe as a part of that answer, I would just add, you know, there's a number of companies doing interesting things, either similar or complementary. And I just wonder if there is also opportunity to grow through acquisition or through merger with some groups so that you can, you know, sort of build those economies of scale together.
It makes all the sense in the world. We're in the midst of our Series A right now. We anticipate a Series B probably 18 20 months later, probably in the range of 20 to 25 million. We can grow through merger. We can grow through acquisition. We could go down that IPO road. There's so many different avenues we can go down. It's just the growth may be organic, but through merger and acquisition, the growth will be gigantic. So the market desperately needs this. We're talking about $750 billion addressable market in surgery. It's enormous. And, you know, we're not talking about urgent surgeries. We're talking about non-urgent surgeries. And that's 92% of all surgeries being done today.
Yeah, that's an astounding number. You know, there's some introductions that we'll make that are companies that you guys ought to be probably just getting to know each other, being aware of what they're doing, probably can share some things that have worked. And speaking of that, maybe just reflect, and I think this is really more for fellow entrepreneurs. Is there a lesson or two that comes to the top of your mind over the last year or two, something that you've learned that, you know, in the rearview mirror now, you would have maybe thought about something differently, but just as an entrepreneur going through this journey, anything that you would highlight?
Well, patience. You know, I think this requires a tremendous amount of patience and more patience than I thought it would. And if you look at us, you know, the pandemic hit and it slowed everything down. There's no question. You know, but the pandemic may also be a way to reset healthcare. And maybe that provided a great opportunity to reset the whole healthcare system. And, you know, I wrote a book on this, Resetting Healthcare Post-COVID-19 Pandemic, the Patient Handbook. It's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You know, you can go to resettinghealthcare.com and learn about the book. But the book is all about educating patients about this new way of the next generation of healthcare that's to come, which is the information age, which unfortunately we're still in the pre-internet era, if you will, in terms of what patients and how they're informed and how they're educated today.
We will definitely put link to the book in the show notes as well. And I'm excited to read that. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. My goal and my hope is that COVID did accelerate patient interest. And I think it has. And I think you're right. I mean, healthcare is traditionally, we talk about this a lot, 15 years or so behind much of the world, the technology world. And so there's no reason for some of these things. You know, the use of technology should allow access to better information, better decision making. So some good things to come. Anything, Dr. Prasad, that you would like to share that we haven't maybe covered that's on your mind with respect to the company?
I think you kind of got it all. You know, our mantra when we talk to patients and employers is know before you go. And I think that just makes a lot of sense. It's resonating in the marketplace in a very big way. Thank you,
Tom. I love it. Well, great common sense business. And Dr. Prasad, we wish you all the best and hope to help you in this journey. You're at a great inflection point, exciting inflection point. I'm excited for people. Pardon me. I'm excited for people to learn about the company and learn about you. And we look forward to helping you in any way we can.
I certainly appreciate it. And I appreciate you taking time off on a holiday weekend to do this. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
See you again soon for the next episode of Innovation for Alpha. Make sure to go to Innovation for Alpha for access to prior episode links, show notes, and other valuable resources. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any investment decisions, please consult with a professional. This show is copyrighted by Angel Indie Media, and written permission must be granted before syndication or rebroadcasting.